Okay, Shalom Aleichem Aboisai. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shara Bitochen, Perek Dalid, toward the end. Okay. The next piece I'm going to read to without, quite frankly, without completely relating to it. But I'm going to read it because part of what we're doing here is being exposed to the world of the Chayes Halavavis. So let's see. We've moved through all the different areas where the Chayes Halavavis is applying bitachon to, culminating with bitachon in olam haba, operating secure in the knowledge that our efforts are going to be rewarded with that ultimate sechar in olam haba. And now he adds yet another level to this, another layer to this. And again, I'm going to read this. I'm going to basically read through it in English without completely understanding it. Says there's yet one more area, one added area of bitachon. Here he's introducing us to this concept of the place of the higher level place in olam haba. The great chesed of Hashem on those who he draws close, on his extra close people in Olam Abba, with goodness that cannot be described. Now he says, "Ofnei Yesha Bitochen Elohim." But meaning we have to have Bitochen that this level exists also, this completely different league of Olam Abba. Now Olam Abba is itself a completely different league, but here he's telling us that there's this special level reserved for those who bring themselves closest to Hashem. How do we operate with this bitachon? Ofnei ayusha bitachon elohim boy. The way that we apply bitachon here is, again, proceeding with the knowledge that this does exist, is, I'm going to read this in English, that a person engages in the means that bring him to the level of the most dedicated, who really deserve this from Hashem. Meaning, you put in efforts to get yourself as close as you can get, which is what? Complete self-sacrifice, giving everything else up for Hashem. You are willing to give up anything about Olam Hazeh for Hashem. You make anything that you like about Olam Hazeh pale in comparison to your love for Hashem. Your love for Hashem is your dominating factor with everything you're doing in life. Nothing else holds a candle. There isn't anything that competes. I'll give a little bit of a perspective on this. And again, here we're already talking about sublime levels. The Rashba is a very, people ask, the most famous Nisayan in history was the Akedah. We all know that for the rest of history, we ride on the zchus of Avraham Avinu at the Akedah. And a number of questions are asked about that. First of all, one question is that we see that many Jews in history gave up their lives and even gave up the lives of their children, Al Kiddush Hashem. Why is Avraham Avinu's sacrifice, which didn't even actually play out, why does it stand on such a higher place? Why is that like the peak of our history when actually later throughout the generations, it was repeated numerously? That's one way the question is asked. Another question that's asked is that at the end of the day, if a person hears the direct word from Hashem, wouldn't anybody do it? Maybe if not anybody, but does it take an Avraham Avinu Davka? Both of those questions are addressed. Plenty of ink has been spilled on the subject, but I just want to give the Rashba's perspective here. By the way, I'll just note that the answer to the question of the fact that numerous Jewish people throughout the generation have done that, the general answer to that question is that it's true. We got that ability from Avraham Avinu. But the Rashba gives a very, very interesting take on this. And he says, the Nisayan, or that the greatness of Avraham Avinu on the Akedah was not the very fact that he was willing to do it. But rather, he says, it was really what was going on the inside. It was the fact that for Avraham Avinu, whose whole future was his son, everything that he lived for was his son. This was what he had been dreaming about for years. And he was putting all of his life's work into his son. And it was a very, very passionate life's work. Yitzchak Avinu was his world. And yet, the Rashba says that his love for Hashem was so great that it wasn't even difficult. It wasn't even like he overcame his fatherly feelings. Actually, it is actually expressed this way. But it wasn't like there was he struggled. It wasn't like he struggled. It was just that there was nothing to talk about. He loved his son Yitzchak, but his love for Hashem was so much more intense that his fatherly love didn't hold a candle to that. The Rashba says that that really was the greatness that Hashem was talking about when he was, so to speak, amazed by Avraham Avinu's performance in the Akedah. It was the fact that the two loves were not comparable at all. And this is what the Chavos HaMavos is saying here. The Chavos HaMavos is saying here, when a person reaches a level that anything else that he might want in life simply pales in comparison with his love and dedication to Hashem. And he completely gives himself over to Hashem. And he finds his joy in Hashem. Now let's just note that when we talk about sacrifice, we don't talk about living a pious life of gloom for Hashem. That's a general principle that's important to realize. When we talk about precious, when it's done the right way, it does not mean a person living a life without joy because he's pious and because he's sacrificing it all for Hashem. When it's done right, when sacrifice is done right, the idea, what really is going on is I'm giving it up for something that I, so to speak, enjoy, or that I gain even greater fulfillment from. I'm giving it up for a more elevated joy, for a more elevated pleasure. And therefore, we say this person has reached a place where his love for Hashem and his pleasure with spending time with Hashem, so to speak, outdoes any other joys he might have in this world. And that's why we understand that this is not just about sacrifice. And the person detaches himself from any material connections, and he follows the practices of the great Nevi'im and the pious Hasidim of yesteryear, and he moves through life confident in the knowledge that Hashem will treat him in the same way that he treated those Nevi'im. I mean, a person who knows that whatever I give up for Hashem, it's going to earn me the special standing of those people of the Nevi'im and the Hasidim of yesteryear. Now, he says, you have to realize that this is not just about feeling elevated and feeling close. He says, a person who thinks that Hashem is going to grant him all this reward without him actually putting in these efforts, he says he's a fool. He's like the people who it says about, you can't just, there's a very sober point being made here. It's not enough to feel spiritual. It's not enough to feel connected. Now, feelings of connection, the feelings of elevation, the feelings of spirituality have to be backed by solid action, by putting in a lot of work for Hashem and reaching places where you are giving up on things which earlier in life would have been very important to you, but now you are rising above them, you're graduating them because your relationship with Hashem is taking you further. But it's not without action. It's not just about feeling close. It's about putting in very serious efforts, working hard, giving of yourself in a real way. Now, when we see money anche amala agdola azois, and if you want to know the symptoms of these people? What are the signs of these people? Again, it's not just a person who feels very elevated, who feels very spiritual, who feels very connected. You can have people kidding themselves. They feel very spiritual, but lemaisa, they are keeping halacha at a very low level, and they, you know, aren't willing to give up on one of their favorite treats because it's a low quality heksha, but they feel very connected. It's not what we're talking about. It has to be backed. A person's inner feelings are gauged by the efforts that he puts in. So he says, you will see different things that have to go along with being on this level. Some of the signs of the people of this level is that they are constantly trying to inspire others to serve Hashem. We've already discussed that that is a major aspect of loving Hashem, is the fact that you want to see others connected to Him as well. And that He moves through ordeals that are brought upon Him by Hashem, or tests that are brought upon Him by Hashem. He moves through them, tolerating them, embracing them, moving through them with a sense of mission. And any challenge to a mitzvah is easy for them to overcome, meaning any test, if it's a question of money, if it's a question of overcoming something that I really wanted, if it's a question of social prestige, etc., that's at stake. You know, it might suffer. Any of these different areas might suffer if I'm going to do this mitzvah the way Hashem expects it of me. It's like we said before. It's a no-brainer. This is what Hashem wants. This is what I'm going to do. You see Him moving through it easily. He brings in the example that we gave before. This was really the story of Avraham Avinu with the Akedah, as we said before, from the Rashba. And this was the story of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah in the fiery furnace. And this was the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And this was the story of the Asor Harugi Malchus, those who were killed by the Romans, the 10 martyrs. A person who chooses death, a death of loyalty to Hashem, rather than life that goes against his will. Or a person who prefers to be poor in line with Ratzon Hashem than to be wealthy in a way that compromises Hashem's will. A person who's willing to give up health and he's willing to bear illness if the circumstances are such that that's what Hashem's will demands of him. Or a difficult life instead of a tranquil life. And he gives himself over to Hashem. He says, whatever you want from me, whatever you choose for me, that is what I want. A person who lives this way, he is deserving of Hashem's great, of this great kindness of Hashem in the bliss of Olam Haba. And he cites a few psukim to this effect. So basically what he's saying is that, let's understand, a life of Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs is going to get you very, very immense reward. Very immense reward. But yet, he says, I want you to realize that there's the higher level. There's the level of the person whose love for Hashem dominates everything else in his life. And this really is what the Chavetz Chaim has been trying to get us throughout the whole Sefer. When he talks about being on the level of the Nevi'im and the Hasidim, that shouldn't make us turn off. Shouldn't say, okay, it's not relevant to me, this is theoretical. Basically what he's describing is, the Nevi'im and the Hasidim, the Hasidim that he's talking about are the people who live the life that the Chavetz Chaim is trying to imbue us with. And that is, again, a life of growing close to Hashem, of developing a love for Hashem to the extent that that is really what dominates all the other areas of life, and I'm willing to give up anything else that will conflict with that. A life of true dedication, a And he's telling us that a person who lives this life is this way is in a whole different place. It's a whole different level. Whereas, this is as we've said it many times, a person who just gets plain Olam Haba, so to speak, only has billions, this person will have trillions. That's really the way to think of it. We're not undermining the, so to speak, the plain, the regular Olam Haba that is given to any Jew. But he's telling you, there is this much higher level of the person who really lives that life that's dominated by his love for Hashem. Okay. We finished this perek. This was a long and profound perek. And now we're moving into the next perek. Perek Hey, we're moving toward the end of Shara Bitochen. We'll just introduce the next perek without really starting it now. Having studied the subject of Bitochen at length, he is now going to go and say, so in practice, what will the difference between a person with Bitochen and a person without Bitochen look like when it comes to Parnasa? Meaning, we've learned up till now that Bitochen does not mean not doing Ishtadlus. That is one of the most fundamental things we've been learning in the Chavis Halvavis' treatment of Bitochen. Ishtadlus, there aren't two fields. There's the area of Ishtadlus and there's the area of Bitochen. Ishtadlus is a must. You have to tend to your material affairs. And the demand of Bitochen is to be able to go about that Ishtadlus with the knowledge that at the end of the day, my Ishtadlus is not what's going to determine my state of affairs, but I do my Ishtadlus going through the motions, and then Hashem will decide, and I'm perfectly comfortable with whatever he decides. So it comes out that at the end of the day, a person with Bitochen and a person without Bitochen will both be doing the same Ishtadlus. They'll both be getting the same job. They'll both be making the same efforts. Just the difference is in the minds. But here the Chavos HaMavis is going to describe to us, where at the end of the day do we see the differences? Where do we see the differences between the person with Bitochen and the person without Bitochen manifest? That we'll see Be'ezus Hashem next week. We'll end here for now. And we wish everybody